to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, August 26, 2018, by Eric Williams.
Picture the ancient Hebrews gathered at the banks of the Jordan River by Joshua, who had taken over from Moses as the leader of the people, who had spent 40 years in the wilderness watching the signs and wonders and miracles that God had performed for them. First, as their parents had told them, the 10 plagues of Egypt. Then the miraculous rescue and flight from Egypt, the crossing of the Red Sea, water from the rock at Meribah, manna and quails to feed them during their long sojourn in the wilderness. And now Joshua gathers them to renew their covenant with God. And imagine this. He says to them, "I think it's time for you to put away your other gods." Your other gods? After all of that, are you still clinging to your other gods? The gods you had in Egypt, your household gods, your idols, the gods that the Amorites worship in the new promised land? Really? After witnessing the power of God for a generation, you're still clinging to plan B. I think it's very human of the ancient Hebrews to do this, because I think we are all wired, or at least taught, to always have a plan B. Every Sunday morning, Paul and I drive from Pontiac here to church, and this summer, we have had to have plan A, B, C, and D, because Updike Road is closed, South Boulevard has been closed, Adams has been closed, Hamlin has been closed. Virtually every street that connects my house with this church has been closed for a big part of the summer. So it's good to have plan B. We like to have other options. We like to have a fallback plan. And I think a lot of our culture supports this as well. In the capitalist economic structure of our country, there's something called creative destruction. In order for companies to get better and to stay good, they have to keep changing and improving, because there's always competitors ready to eat their lunch. And speaking of lunch, very often when we have a favorite restaurant, that restaurant doesn't stay the same forever, does it? Chefs come and go. Maybe we like a particular restaurant, but then a hot new restaurant opens up, and before you know it, we have abandoned our favorite old restaurant, and now we're eating at the new one. Plan B makes a lot of sense, except when it comes to God. Because God is clear about one thing in the Bible more than anything else. It's right there at the beginning of the Ten Commandments. "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." When it comes to God, God is not happy with plan B. Doesn't want you to have a fallback plan, doesn't want you to have other options. You need to be all in with God. This is a consistent message through the scriptures, and it's one that the people struggle with through the entire Bible. It happens again with Joshua at the Jordan River. Joshua's like, you know, you got to choose. You can't have it both ways. You can't have God and your fallback plan. You need to pick. With the New Testament, Jesus invites his disciples. In fact, you know, Jesus has this whole crowd that is following him around while he's teaching. There's the 12 disciples, but then there's also thousands at times of other people who are not exactly disciples. They're more like groupies or fans. They enjoy listening to Jesus until the next hot new preacher comes along. I mean, there weren't movie theaters, so you go and hear a preacher on Sunday afternoon and see what they're like, if he's entertaining. And Jesus did miracles, even better. Maybe he'll do a miracle. It's an exciting way to spend an afternoon. But then things get real. Then Jesus begins to talk in a way that makes people uncomfortable. He says you have to make a choice. And a lot of those fans, a lot of those groupies went away. So Jesus very poignantly asks his disciples, and how about you? Are you willing to accept this teaching that I am the Messiah, the bread of heaven, that I am the path to God the Father, God in the flesh? Can you handle that? And Peter, Simon Peter, is the one who says, yeah, I'm all in, all the way, all the way. To whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. Peter is all in. Joshua was all in. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That is inspiring. It's inspiring when people have the capacity to give that kind of commitment and loyalty and single-minded commitment. I mean, it's amazing. It's very rare that we see that in our lives because most of us are wanting to have it both ways. We want to have our commitments, but then we also want to have our fallback position. And to see someone so dedicated is really inspiring. I was thinking about that a lot with the news of the death of John McCain. I don't know what your politics are, but for me, John McCain was one of those true American originals. He was irascible, and he could be obstreperous and difficult, but he was loyal to an absolute fault. Prisoner of war, war hero, then returned and served his country in one of the more difficult places, I think, in Congress for many years. He was a maverick, not towing the line, but loyal to his country and dedicated to the principles for which he fought and was imprisoned and lived. John McCain had that kind of all-in mentality. But it did not mean that he was therefore prevented from being a critic. He was deeply critical of the Democrats. He was deeply critical of the Republicans. He was deeply critical of almost everybody that met him. He was deeply critical of at one point or another. The tributes that are coming in always have that sort of wry humor about them. To be a critic is not necessarily to be disloyal. There is a fine balance. The other story that's been breaking my heart this week is another story about abuse in the Roman Catholic Church. And many people are piling on the Roman Catholic Church and criticizing, but I think our stance as fellow Christians should be to pray and support our brothers and sisters who are enduring this long, very difficult crisis of faith. It is damaging the faith of people in the pews. It's causing consternation at all levels of the church. But it does not mean that people should abandon the church, because I would venture to say, if we had a real conversation, all of us, one-on-one, I bet not one person in this room has been freed from a time when the church didn't let you down. I bet not one person here could say that they have only ever had positive experiences of church. I think we all have the experience of being let down or feeling out of sync or feeling critical or not sure, confused or upset. All of us. It doesn't mean that we abandon the church, but it also doesn't mean that we have to toe the line on everything the church always says or does, or every priest says or does. Loyalty involves speaking the truth in love. Loyalty and commitment involve this kind of tension between being part of the group and being willing also to make the community better. So I pray deeply for our Roman Catholic brothers and sisters that there can be healing and there can be protection and there can be renewal for that part of the body of Christ. And I pray for the same thing for us as well. Because for us, the invitation that God gives us is the same that God gave to Joshua, that God gave to the disciples, and that God has given to people from the beginning of time until now. And that is, are you all in? Are you all in with God? I invite you this week to spend a little time. I know I was talking to our acolytes this morning, and this is the last week before school resumes for a lot of students, and suddenly there's this realization that all that work that was assigned over the summer is now due this week. So there's a lot of pressure, and we all have busy lives. But I invite you, if you have some time, to reflect a little bit. Think about this question. What does it mean for you to be all in with God? What does it mean for you to be part of a community of faith that is imperfect, but striving to reflect the nature and reality of God? We have as the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, Jesus, who invited his disciples to be all in, but did not do that in a vacuum, because it was Jesus who demonstrated more fully than any other person what it meant to be all in with God. For Jesus, there was no separation between his faith in God and the way he spent every minute of his life on earth. Jesus, who spent himself in loving service to the world, to his disciples, to those same crowds who abandoned him when things got too difficult, to the very people who nailed him up on the cross. Jesus was all in for them and all in for us, and always all in for God, his Father, and the Creator of all of us. What does it mean for us?